Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church this morning. And for any who are listening online, it's wonderful to have you. And why don't you consider next week coming and joining us in person? That would be a delight for all of us. I'm Fiona, and in our service today, other people who will be enabling us are Rosemary, Yunglan, and Irene. Heather's going to give our Bible reading, and Diane will lead us in prayer. Trevor will teach from the Bible, and in a minute we're going to hear that. But before we do, people who gather here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people, various different ages and backgrounds, and we have the delight of finding meaning and purpose for life in living life God's way according to the Bible, God's living word. And we invite you to know God with us. Trevor is now going to give us a little foretaste of what's going to happen soon.
Thanks, Fiona. In our little Bible sermon series on Back to Basics, today we're asking the question, why isn't everyone a Christian? And I think it's a question we may ask ourselves often. Maybe just thinking about a family member or a friend, or despite all the prayers or the sharing of the gospel that we might have with someone, why is it that not everyone is a Christian like us? And why is it that we are? And so we're going back to a parable that Jesus taught his disciples to understand it in its original context for those disciples, and also for us to apply it to today as well in answering those questions. Thanks, Fiona.
This month, we have a mission focus in two areas. Firstly, the Pharisees up in Kununurra, and many of us here will know them because they were a part of our church before they went out with BCA. So Daniel and Rebecca with their three children are serving God in BCA, and our other link missionary is Reverend David Anthonys, who is one of the Anglicare hospital chaplains serving at Concord. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Please stand as we sing, "All Glory Be to Christ."
Should nothing of the ever stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house in vain, his builders strive. To all glory be to Christ the King, all glory.
Say together, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You are worthy, Lamb of God, for you were slain, and with your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and peoples and nation. To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Now I'm handing over to Trevor for the parable of the sower.
Please be seated, everyone. All right, we come to our family fun time. The Bible reading that we're going to be hearing and teaching on a little bit later on is the parable of the sower. And so we're just going to hear a little video explaining that to us, and then we're going to sing a song together, another one of Colin's ones. I'll let the video do it today.
God's story, seeds and a farmer. So a part of God's story is about some seeds and a farmer, and it goes like this. Jesus traveled from town to town, teaching about God everywhere he went. Lots of people followed. One day, a huge crowd came to see Jesus. So many people that Jesus had to get into a boat while the people stayed on shore so everyone could see and hear him. Jesus helped people to understand what God is like by telling stories. We call those stories parables. That day, Jesus told this parable. A farmer went to his field to plant some seeds. Some seeds fell into a path. Before these seeds had a chance to grow, some birds flew in from out of nowhere and ate the seeds up. Some seeds fell into stones and rocks. These seeds started to grow, but their roots couldn't go deep enough to get water. And when the sun came up the next day, it burned up the plants. Some seeds fell among thorns. They grew, but so did the thorns, until the thorns got so thick they blocked out the sun and rain. Still, other seeds fell into good soil that was perfect for these plants to grow. These seeds grew into big, tall plants, and they made seeds of their own. And those seeds became big, tall plants too. Eventually, those seeds grew to produce many times what was planted. When he had finished, Jesus said, "Whoever has ears should listen." But not everyone who heard the parable understood it. The disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you use stories when you speak to people?" And Jesus explained that just because people hear information about God doesn't mean they understand it. But sometimes, when we hear a story about God, we can understand something about him that we didn't understand before. Well, people must have still been confused because Jesus went ahead and explained the story of the seeds and the farmer. The farmer scattering seeds was like Jesus telling people about God's plan to rescue them. Remember the seeds that were eaten by birds? They're like the people who have heard about God's rescue plan, but didn't understand. They never got a chance to learn about God or start to follow him. The seeds that fell into stones and rocks? These were people who heard and believed in God for a little while, but they gave up when following God was hard to do. Their faith wasn't very deep, like the roots of the plant weren't very deep. What about the seeds that fell among thorns? These were people who heard, believed, and started to follow, but they couldn't trust God with their whole life. Their worries and selfishness stopped them from growing. just like thorns block the plants from getting sunlight and water. And finally, the seeds in the good soil. They're the people who hear and receive Jesus' rescue, and then they follow Jesus, and their faith keeps growing no matter what happens in their lives. They grow strong and healthy and help other people to follow Jesus too, just like plants that grow and produce seeds to make other plants. Jesus wants people to know that it's not enough just to hear his words or stories. We can put our faith in Jesus and follow him. Basically, we have to trust God with everything and do what he says, even if that means some people don't understand us, or even if we get worried and make mistakes. And if you're watching this, that means you can trust God and do what he says too. And that's the parable of the seeds in a farmer. So in case you missed it, here's the quick version. Jesus told stories called parables. One parable is about seeds in a farmer. Some seeds were eaten by birds or fell among rocks or thorns. Some seeds grew in good soil. The farmer is like Jesus. People who put their faith in Jesus are like the seeds that grow. And that's a part of God's story.
I'm not going to get you to stand to sing the song, but this is another one of Colin's songs. It's called Farmer Phil, and it sums up the story of the parable of the sower as well. You can join in on the chorus as it comes along.
Here we go. It's time for the ballad of Farmer Phil.
Don't need to stand
after
up.
After four, boys. One, two, three, four. Farmer Phil went out one day out to sow the seed. He scattered here, he scattered there, he scattered, scattered everywhere. Farmer Phil went out one day out to sow the seed. And some fell on the path, and down in birdies came, 'cause they love nothing better than to call up some grain. Oh, Farmer Phil went out one day out to sow the seed. And some fell on the rocks, and all of them their shoots withered in the sun because they had no roots. Oots, 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 oots. Oh, Farmer Phil went out one day out to sow the seed. He scattered here, he scattered there, he scattered, scattered everywhere. Farmer Phil went out one day out to sow the seed. 2, 3, aroo, change of key. Well, some fell in the thorns, and even though they grew, thorns choked the plants, and the plants could bear no fruit. Oh, Farmer Phil went out one day out to sow the seed. And some fell in the good soil, and up they came. They grew and grew and grew into a bumper crop of grain. Ain, 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 ain. Oh, Farmer Phil went out one day out to sow the seed. He scattered here, he scattered here, he scattered, he scattered everywhere. Farmer Phil went out one day out to sow the seed. 2, 3, aroo, change of good. Well, that seed's the word of God, and the word of God is true. Is that word of God now gonna grow in you? Ooh, 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 ooh. Farmer Phil went out one day out to sow the seed. And to sow the seed. Hey, 1, 2, favorite song.
Family church, good to see you.
If our youth would like to leave now, that would be the right time for that to happen. They're staying in. Silly me. Then please join us as I pray before we hear from God's word. Thank you, Heavenly Father. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning's Bible reading is Matthew 13, 1-23. Page 978 in the Bibles, up on the screen or in the news and notes. Thank you, Heather.
Matthew 13, 1-23, the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has the will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord.
Please keep the Bible open there or the handout inside your news and notes with the Bible reading there on it. We'll turn to that now as we continue in our Bible teaching time. As Fiona has prayed, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will guide us and teach us from your word today. May we have ears to hear and to put it into practice, what we understand, what we see, what we hear. Help me to teach your word correctly, and may we experience your spirit, indeed guiding us into truth. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've had our fun. We have a bit more serious time now as we come into the scriptures before us this morning that's here. The passage that's before us today, this morning, Matthew 13, verses 1 to 23, falls into a section where Jesus starts to talk about, give parables, and parables in particular about the kingdom of God. It's been commented that the theme of Matthew's gospel is about the kingdom of God. And what do you think of when you think of a kingdom? What do you think of usually? I think people think of a castle, or they think of a boundary or area. Well, for the Jewish person, they thought about their king. They thought about the king and what kind of a ruler they were and the kind of reign that they would rule. And so when Jesus uses the phrase, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you, he's saying God's king is here. God's rule has come upon you. In fact, he's just said that in chapter 12, verse 28 there. If you look back, he's just said that the rule of God, the kingdom of God has now been shown and amongst you and with you. Here is your king. And see him, you're seeing him and hearing him. And so Matthew chapters 13 and 14, Jesus gives five parables about, five parables about the kingdom of God. In different aspects. And today we're looking at the aspect, well, why is it that some understand the parable, the kingdom of God being, and others don't? Why is it that some people are Christians and others aren't? It's quite a simple little passage. And again, as we saw in our video before and the song itself, I think we go away understanding, yeah, I understand what the message means, Trevor. It's a pretty simple message. Four soils, you know, the gospel, the word is planted. One soil is good and responds to that. And the question is, which are you? Which of those soils are you of which the word of God is planted in? Are you in the good soil? Where are you? And if you're a Christian, well, you're the good soil. And the word of God has come to you and you've understood. But there's more to it. There's actually a complex here as well. When we understand it originally, from in the context of it first being told into this place. Because if you look at it here, it's got the firstly, let me just divide the passage up. Verses 1 to 2 is the setting. Jesus has now going to teach the crowds. So amongst the people gathered are the crowds, and it's a large crowd, so much so that he has to get into a boat and speak and teach from the boat. Right, so it's a pretty big crowd of people. And amongst this crowd of people are the disciples. Whether some are in the boat with him or some are still on the shore, we're not told. I gather there'd be some in the boat, some still on the shore there with him, or in other boats around the place. That's the setting there. People, you know, a large crowd of people. We've just seen a large crowd at the Taylor Swift concert there on the TV. It's a huge crowd, right? I don't know how many crowds of people would have been there at that time to listen in, but it was a large crowd. And then we come to the actual parable being told by Jesus. The parable then goes on, and he says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Have you ever told a joke? Or not really a joke, have you ever told a witty statement of which you've got and maybe someone else has got next to you but everybody else hasn't got? Have you ever been in one of those little situations where you go and they laugh, maybe about 3 minutes later or something, they get the question? Well, this is, I take it here, something that Jesus does here. Because what do you call, at the end of saying this, what do you call the heads of corn or wheat? They're called ears, aren't they? And so at the end of this, he says, he who has ears, let you hear, all right? So at the end of it all, he sort of points out, well, those of you who understand what this is, you'll know what you're getting. You know, whether he got a respond back, I don't know at that point. We're told here a bit further when he explains it that not many did. And so the parable is told. And some of the group of people who didn't understand it were the disciples themselves, all right? Matthew would have been there. Matthew was one of these disciples, the one who's just written this story down. Originally, he asked this question, all right? And he comes up to Jesus and he says, why do you speak to people in parables? It was a question I remember asking in my confirmation class when I was about 14 and 15. I remember asking my Deaconess Maureen Cripps there, well, why did Jesus speak in parables? And some of you may know the explanation. heavenly stories with earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Have you ever had that explained to you in that way as a parable? All right, well, the parable is really not that at all, really. The parable was a story that wasn't meant to be understood. It actually wasn't an illustration so that the people would understand the message easier. Because that's what it goes on to say, look, that's his answer. It says, why do you speak to the people in parables? And Jesus gives them the answer here. Look there at verses 11 through to 17. Actually, 11 through to 17 is why the parable is given. He says, verse 11, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. What's a secret? A secret is something that's known by one person and chosen to be revealed to another if they so choose to. It's not common knowledge, all right? If I say we have a secret or there's a secret, then it's between us, right? There's a secret here. And secrets aren't known. Secrets are hidden. But Jesus says here, the reason why he says parables is because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, remember who the kingdom of heaven is, it's about Jesus, about God, his rule over the universe, over the world, the Messiah, the coming Christ, has been given to you, disciples. You have been given it, not to them, to that original crowd of people that were there, gathered. And that's staggering, isn't it? When you look at it in that context, it's there. That's what it says. That's what the reason is. Jesus gives. The secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you. This is why I speak to them in parables. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. He's saying this to the disciples. And even though they have, whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. But you, disciples, you are the ones for whom the secrets of the knowledge of the heaven, kingdom of heaven, has been given to you. This is why I speak to them in parables, because I want you to know who I am and why I've come into the world, he's saying about Jesus, about himself there. And then you can just imagine what the disciples are thinking in that point there. It's what I was thinking, is that, well, then, this is what was prophesied. This is what was said in Isaiah 6, verses 9 to 10. Those seeing, they do not see. Jesus is now quoting scripture about the people of that time, the Jewish nation, the people. They see, they do not. Those seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. See who? Hear who? Understand who? Who Jesus is. See Jesus. Hear who he is, what he's saying. Understand why he's come into the world. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart, that generation, this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Quoting Isaiah 6, verses 9 to 10. But then he says, but blessed. Blessed are you, your eyes. Whose eyes? Again, look at the context. Look at what it is. It's the disciples. These men who would be the ones who are with Jesus, chosen by Jesus. Because, why? Because they see. They see, and your ears because they hear. For truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. I take it here, and others comment to this here, that what's happening here in this little story, this parable here, is Jesus is ushering in the next phase of how he will reveal his unfolding plan to save mankind. right? Up to now, it's been through God's people, the Jews, and through them being faithful. Through them, all people will be blessed. Genesis 12, the true. And finally now, the one who is perfect in every way. It's not the nation, but the person of Jesus, who is Israel in the flesh, God in the flesh. All that God's people were meant to be is there, seeing. The prophets spoke about this coming Christ, the Messiah, and longed to see him. And these disciples saw him, heard what he had to say about himself and what he'd come into the world to do. It's sort of like a new phase. You are the ones who are at the good soil. You are the ones for whom the seed I will plant in and grow in. And from you and your witness, the church will grow and develop from you. The kingdom of God, the rule of God will grow through all of this. And then he says, and then in the last little verses, 18 through to now the end of the chapter there, it does a future application. He's basically saying, okay, when you go out and you are my good soil, the crop growing and your seed planting through the words, you're going out, this is what will happen as the message goes out. As my message, Jesus is saying to them, his message of the gospel going out, how people are right with God through the personal work of Jesus. As you preach it, as you share it, this is how people are going to respond. Right? Some won't listen, won't understand it. It'll just be water off a duck's back. Others, like we heard, will be like soil of which the weeds that grow, but then shallow soil, you know. And then others, the worries of life will choke it. A quarter, will hear your message, hear my message, Jesus saying, and will produce a crop themselves and grow. Be encouraged, disciples. And for us, as we look back, Matthew has written down the story in his gospel for us. And today, as this story goes out and the gospel goes out, that's what happens today too, as it has in generations up and will in the future. Some will be Christians. Many won't. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. But few find that door and walk that narrow path. We would love that everyone was a Christian. Everyone was made right with God. And yet, that's not what Jesus says. In fact, he says everyone should not be right with God. Only a few will be chosen to be that. And it's you that have been chosen, you who have been saved through the person and work of Jesus. It doesn't mean we don't stop praying for our brothers and sisters, for friends or family, mothers or fathers, cousins, aunts, acquaintances. We pray because God's told us to pray, to talk with him about it. It's not a shopping list. We don't pray because we're waiting for a result to happen. God, do what I tell you to do. We pray because God's asked us to engage with him in this process of understanding why we're Christians and others aren't, and to pray with God. We never know. I've just planted some beans in my backyard here this morning, ready for the winter crop, and I'm thinking, I'm sure I planted some extra beans. Some have come up. And then there's two spots where they haven't come up. Maybe I hadn't planted anything in there. Maybe I forgot to put the seed in there, all right? Dug down, oh, they're just slow developers, all right? They're coming a bit later on, all right? And I covered it back over again. I think the key here, the two little words here is secret has been made known to you, disciples. You will now go on and you will proclaim the message when I've gone, and Jesus is saying to them, and I'll be with you through that message. This is how the world will respond. And I'm thankful that they were faithful to that. For the question we need to ask ourselves is, have we got ears to hear ourselves and responded to the message that we've heard? Let me pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are indeed blessed that through the faithful witness of those who were with Jesus and passed on the message and wrote it down for us, we've been able, with the Spirit of you, dear God, working in our lives with your word, to see Jesus through your word, through that seed planted in the good soil. We've heard his message, and we are truly grateful that knowing that prophets and righteous people long time ago longed to see what we've come to see and understand. And so we thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for saving us. May we who have ears to hear, have ears to hear. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join with me as we say another section from Psalm 119 together. And as we do, reflect on the importance of the words of life that God has given us. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. Glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, so now and forevermore. Amen. Please stand as we sing, Your Grace is Strong Enough. Oh, no, it's me.
Grace came down to seek and save the lost were found and the dead were raised. Grace rang out, the nations came in honor of the King. And when they gather, I will be there, and this will be my song. Your grace is strong enough, your arms are wide enough, let the sinner call your name. We are lost without your grace. Your love is deep enough, finding every one of us, every nation, sent and saved. All our hope is in your grace. Grace so strong, it bursts the walls, the heart of God reaching out to all. Grace so loud, it must be told, the hope of all the earth. A new day coming, the one will arise, the world will see your light. Your grace is strong enough, your arms are wide enough, sinner, call your name. We are lost without your grace. Your love is deep enough, finding every one of us, every nation stand and
Let us join together in saying what we believe. We believe in one God who made us and loves all that is. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was born, lived, died, and rose again, and is coming to call all to account. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who calls, equips, and sends out God's people, and brings all things to their true end. This is our faith, the faith of the Church. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit or kneel for prayer. In Psalm 32, David reminds us, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess the guilt, my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We also, like David, need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. So before we draw near, take a moment to allow God to bring to your mind things you need to confess. Let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sin and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. It's such a relief that our God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray for a greater faith and love. Father of peace, we are joyful in your word, your Son Jesus Christ, who reconciles us to you. With our eyes fixed on him, let us run the race that is set before us with the eagerness of faith and love. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, you have given your only Son to be for us both a sacrifice for sin and also an example of godly life. Give us grace that we may always thankfully receive the benefits of his sacrifice and also daily endeavour to follow the blessed steps of his most holy life through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, ruler of all, in whose kingdom peace and righteousness abound, We pray for those whose lives are facing conflict. We pray for the people of Ukraine and Russia who have endured over 2 years of war. We ask that you'll give those trying to establish peace talks great wisdom and influence in drawing the leadership of these two countries together to bring the fighting to an end and restore peace. We seek your peace in the desires of the aggressors in Gaza and the people who are suffering the effects of this war, especially those residents living in Gaza, facing starvation, and watching their children suffering from malnutrition. We ask that aid will be allowed in by all available means by the Israeli and Hamas leaderships. We ask for the release of the 280 children aged between 8 and 15 kidnapped from a school in northwest Nigeria on Thursday, the second such kidnapping in a week. Please comfort the families who await their rescue and move the hearts of the kidnappers to release them all without any ransom being paid. We pray that the armed gangs in Haiti will cease their violence and the country's government restores control, peace, and safety. We also pray for the people in the Moroccan villages who are still living in tents following the earthquakes there last September, and pray that humanitarian efforts are ramped up to supply immediate and long-term solutions and support for these families. O God, you have made of one blood all the people of the earth and sent your Son to preach to those far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We thank you for Link missionaries, especially ours. We pray for ongoing healing for Jessica's dad following his fall recently, and Shine's mum as her knees are recovering well and restoring her ability to walk pain-free. We also pray for the situation in their neighbouring country that have announced a conscription program in the middle of their civil war, causing many more refugees to leave the country while increasing the fear of those remaining. We pray for your guiding hand in the mission work planned with the Pharisees in Kununurra over Easter, that many people will come, and through their partnership with the team from Moore College in April, great traction will follow and many people will turn to you. Most gracious God, ruler of the nations, we pray for our state government, its members and officers, especially the Premier, Chris Minns, and the opposition leader, Mark Speakman. Direct their work and influence their decisions to the advancement of your glory and the safety and welfare of this country, so that peace and happiness, truth and justice may be established among us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God of all truth, teach us to love you with heart and mind. Bless our schools, colleges and universities, that they may be lively centres for sound learning, new discovery, and the pursuit of wisdom. We also ask that the New South Wales Seniors Festival this week will open opportunities for the over 60s to reach beyond, as this year's theme suggests, to also seek these things to build connections, learn new skills, and explore new discoveries that extend them in this new stage of their lives and guide them to your truth. May those who teach and all who learn seek and love the truth, and in humility look to you, the source of all wisdom and understanding, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, giver of life and health, hear our prayer for those who are unwell. Restore them to health of body and mind according to your will. Uphold those who minister to them and provide them with your strength and comfort as they take care of them. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Loving God, without you we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
There's some very important family news coming up, and the first one Trev is going to speak to.
Thanks, Fiona. Well, next week's our annual general meeting or annual vestry meeting, and we encourage you, if you're regular members here at Abbotsford Anglican Church, to stay after church, grab a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, and then come back in. The reports are out today, so as you leave today, at the exit, the table there, please take the report, parish report, and also if you require a detailed financial statement, then you can grab one of those from me as well too. But Steve's also included a summary in the reports as well. So we've got them from Playgroup, from the wardens, from various people in ministries, as well as myself. Thanks, Fiona.
I do notice many people have signed up for the Passover meal coming the Wednesday before Maundy Thursday. If you haven't yet signed up, on the left, well, on that side, on the table, sign up for that. It's a very wonderful time for fellowship together. Please think of friends and others you can invite to our Easter services, Good Friday, the last Friday of the month, and then Resurrection Sunday. All those services are 9:30. And I'm going to thank God now for all he's given us, that we give a little bit back to him. Heavenly Father, thank you for all your free gifts that you give to us. Thank you that you help us model what you are like in generosity. Help us continue to be generous in giving for the work of spreading your kingdom. Thank you, Father, that all these offerings are used to bring glory to your name and grow your kingdom. And we praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. After the service, we have two great prayer warriors down the front. Coral and Brian will be down here and would love to pray for anyone about anything that may be on your mind at this time. When you stay for morning tea, spread out into the outside area. Continue to enjoy fellowship with distance. You know what that means. Christians have a living hope. This is one thing unique to Christianity. So let's stand as we sing of this living hope.
Great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the Jesus Christ, my living hope. We could imagine so great a mercy. What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory, wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I am yours forever. Jesus Christ, my Lord. Salvation. salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Alleluia. Praise the one who set me free. Alleluia. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God, you are my living hope.
Jesus is the narrow gate. Many find him. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. Only a few find it. Please join with me as we say together, may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.